It's April 16th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. Grab your maps, because we are going around the globe this morning for news that's shaping America and the world. We begin first in New York City, where former President Donald Trump is facing a criminal trial this week. After we talk about that, it is south to the border we go, where the Biden White House is celebrating some lower numbers of illegal aliens who crossed over last month. Third, we stop in Central America with a new record down there that shows how much the U.S. is propping up economies in the region. Later, we hop across the pond this morning to Germany, where the government there is trying to speed up some deportations of migrants to fight crime. We are then off to the Sahel region of Africa for a bit with two updates for you about the Russians and gold. We then stop in Australia with, frankly, some heavy news about two stabbings that have rocked that country, including one that was just designated as a terror attack. We then come back home for some good news this morning about feeling connected and less alone. And for religious folks out there, this will not come as a surprise at all. Later, we do have a few listener questions today about everything from chocolate to oil and gas, which are not as tasty compared to the chocolate stuff. But anyway, before we get to that, let's get to our top story of the morning. Former President Donald Trump is facing a criminal trial in New York City this morning. It kicked off yesterday with the latest in what is a long-running saga of a case that has been described by media on both the left and the right as a zombie case. That is because this thing has been picked up by federal prosecutors in years gone by, then dropped, then revived multiple times by Democrat prosecutors in New York City, with the latest being a leftist named Alvin Bragg. So his allegation this morning is this. Mr. Trump allegedly falsified some business records to cover up a $130,000 payment back in 2016 to buy the silence of a woman named Stephanie Clifford. She is an adult film star who has said that she was intimate with Mr. Trump, although she has also said, no, it never happened. But either way, Mr. Trump allegedly gave this gal some money through a cutout to keep her quiet. And that was an illegal campaign contribution, or so says this Democrat DA, Mr. Bragg. Well, jury selection for this case began yesterday. It's expected to take about a week. We will then have witness testimony maybe over the next 2 or 3 weeks. The trial should wrap up by late next month. But as the Associated Press and others are flagging for us this morning, this case represents some very thorny legal issues. Four of them, actually. First, when people have been accused of this crime in the past in New York, virtually all of them have faced only a fine or probation. Mr. Trump, though, is not getting that treatment from Mr. Bragg, which is a bit curious. Second, the state's jurisdiction in this matter is very questionable. The federal government did explore this alleged crime back in 2018, and they dropped it. Rather, they did charge his former attorney, Michael Cohen, for lying, amongst other things. Third, Mr. Trump faces a likely jury pool in New York that is overwhelmingly biased in the favor of Democrats. New Yorkers in this city, as you may know, chose Mr. Biden at about 87% support versus 13% for Trump back during the 2020 election. And that is probably why at least 50 people were removed from the jury pool yesterday. This, by the way, matches a recent survey out of the city that shows that most of Gotham's residents already believe that Trump is guilty of the charges without hearing the evidence. Fourth, and finally, the judge in this case, Mr. Merchan, is also facing allegations this morning of his own partisan bias. Plus, he's got a daughter who's an avowed leftist. Trump's team tried to get this judge removed, but the judge decided, no, he should remain. Well, they are appealing that ruling. We should see whether or not that will be decided within the next 2 to 3 weeks. All right. With those quick facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. So let us do a thought experiment this morning, shall we? Let's imagine that Joe Biden is being tried in Idaho this morning on some state charges, but for what's really a federal crime. Again, the feds have passed on this already. They said there was nothing there, but nevertheless, a Republican DA continues to march forward with the case. He's got some Republican jurors, a Republican sympathizing judge, and a media ecosystem in Idaho and beyond that is just full of Trump supporters. All right, knowing that, ask yourself this question. What kind of trial is likely Mr. Biden going to experience? Will a reasonable person assume a fair one? Or, in all likelihood, Mr. Biden is going to be railroaded by his political opponents? Well, as you make up your mind, I will be candid with you. I have already made up mine. This case in New York and Trump, it is absolutely nakedly partisan. It is designed to handicap or otherwise destroy Mr. Trump as he runs again for the White House. And that obviously is wrong. It's also very dangerous and a slippery slope. Because now that we have crossed this very naked partisan line, ladies and gentlemen, Democrats and Mr. Biden cannot be surprised if in a year or two's time, they find themselves in Idaho or wherever in a Republican city, and they are either locked up or under indictment, because that is the seal that has been broken. And it is now full steam ahead for some very partisan prosecutions. And that is bad for the country. More to come. Next up, we traveled to the southern border this morning where the Biden White House is celebrating some new numbers. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported late last week that they encountered only 137,000 people between the ports of entry along the border last month. That is 16% lower than 1 year ago and about 45% lower than in December. The White House is saying that Mr. Biden's leadership is finally paying off. He and his national security team are taking full or most credit. But should they? Well, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. First, folks, it's very important to remember that between the years of 2010 and 2020, the average number of encounters of illegals for the entire year on our southern border was about 350,000. So now, in 1 month, we have about half of that. All right, that is not a victory. If I might use an analogy here, we went from being invaded by an entire foreign army to, you know, a couple of divisions while the rest are taking a breather. So that is not a victory. Second, there is reason to believe that most of the dip in March is because of efforts either led by Texas Governor Greg Abbott or Mexico's President Lopez Obrador. Now, the former, the governor, we know a lot about. He's Operation Lone Star, amongst other efforts to seal up the border. But it's this latter character, Mr. Lopez Obrador, that's just a little bit more curious. What we know is that Mr. Biden sent his team down to Mexico City about 6 weeks ago to give Mr. Lopez Obrador something. We're just not real sure what that is. I'm going to look into that. More to come. Third, the Border Patrol is still calling the southern border this morning a national security crisis. They're talking to us and reminding us of this fact. There are 140,000 gotaways just from the past year that are somewhere in America this morning, completely unvetted. They also would note that there is a skyrocketing number of Chinese illegals so far this year, 25,000. Compare that to just 300 4 years ago. And of course, we have the recent Afghan terrorist who was running around the country for a year without being wrapped up. We've also got the Venezuelan gangs, the South American crime tourists, or just the good old-fashioned illegals who are bankrupting our hospitals in places like Denver and beyond. So my point is, 137,000 illegals a month is not a victory. There is nothing to cheer about that. The invasion of this country continues, especially if you can compare these numbers to our historical average of just 10 years ago. Next up, and on a related note, we are now going to talk about the legal and illegal migrants who are in this country sending back record amounts of money to their home countries in a form called remittances. The countries of El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua received almost $42 billion in remittances from the United States just last year. That is a record, and that is according to some official data from the central banks of those countries, plus something called the Central American Monetary Council. So that number, $42 billion, well, it's a lot of money. It actually exceeds the amounts that these countries generate through things like foreign investment, tourism, and exports. It's about 25% of each country's gross domestic product. That is also true of remittances to Mexico, by the way. More records there. In fact, just last year, Mexicans sent home about $63 billion. And that is more than what that country brings in from tourism, oil exports, and most manufacturing. So you put this number or series of numbers together, you get to about $105 billion that's coming from this country going to theirs. And ultimately, folks, that is driving down poverty rates all throughout Latin America. For example, in Mexico, the number of people in poverty in that country is about 10%. Compare that to about two decades ago, that number was 20%. All right, with those quick facts and data, let me offer you my analysis and opinion. Two things for you. First, a lot of folks on the left often say that America isn't good or isn't great. In fact, you may recall New York's former governor bashing the MAGA movement by saying, well, America has never been that great. So it is a mantra for folks on the left. But the truth is that without America, without our economy, countries from Mexico to Panama would be far more destitute than they currently are. In fact, we are keeping them afloat this morning. So, you know, they're welcome. Second, despite all that America provides, the poverty that does remain, it's largely not us, rather, it is simply bad governance down there. For example, we've talked a lot about the cartel lover in Mexico, the president, López Obrador. There's also the new leftist president in Guatemala, Mr. Arevalo. He promises more leftist policies that have failed in his country in decades gone by. Or there's the infamous communist dictator of Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega, an upset there. The point is that if anybody wants to shoot some arrows at anybody this morning who either might be driving the migration crisis or causing poverty, the root causes, well, go ahead and shoot some arrows, but not here in America. Shoot them down south. All right. With that, let's take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com and enjoying the ad-free experience and all those great transcripts with the sourcing, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks. We'll be right back. Well, good morning. Are you eating your factormeals.com breakfast? Well, for Pete's sake, why not? Factor is the best meal delivery company in America, especially for busy or retired people. So here's why I think so. First, it's just the taste. The food is delivered fresh to your door, never frozen. And when you taste it, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. These meals just burst with flavor. And not just for breakfast. They've got lunches, dinners too, plus cold-pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. And that is the second reason for why I love Factor Meals. They've got variety. Woo! More than 35 different meal options to choose from. So folks, get Factor Meals today at 50% off. Go to factormeals.com/right50, that's W-R-I-G-H-T 50, and get 50% off. Again, that is promo code right50 at factormeals.com/right50 and get your 50% off. And as you do, remember that you are getting a meal service that is good for your body, great for your taste buds, and I promise you are going to love it. I am at 4 months in with Super Beats Heart Chews, and boy, am I happy. Just two little chews a day, and I get a shot of energy, plus performance and endurance. I take mine at breakfast, and then I am set for the day. Also, here's another great benefit. If you pair Super Beats with a healthy lifestyle, the antioxidants in these chews are clinically shown to be nearly two times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. How great is that? So do what I did. Go to GetSuperBeets.com, that's BEETS.com, and use promo code RIGHT. If you choose one of their bundles, that is going to get you a 30-day supply of Super Beats for free and 15% off your first order. So go to GetSuperBeets.com, use that promo code RIGHT, and get your heart healthy energy that you need and support for healthy blood pressure too. You will be so glad you did. Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with a flight across the Atlantic landing in the country of Germany. Berlin's interior minister is saying this morning that they need to speed up the deportation of migrants all because they are causing tremendous crime in the country. The ministry released some data last week showing that Deutschland is facing a spike in crime to levels last seen in the year 2016. The criminals are increasingly foreign nationals, largely from the Middle East or Northern Africa. Here's what's interesting about this. Just 15% of the population are these migrants from the Middle East and North Africa, but they are about 41% of Germany's overall crime suspects. And because of that, Germany's Interior Minister Nancy Faeser said that, quote, anyone who doesn't stick to the rules must leave, end quote. Well, that comes as quite a change for that government and the one before. Then Chancellor Angela Merkel was a big proponent of open borders. She was often called Mama Merkel by the illegals and migrants. But now those same foreigners and their more recently arrived brethren are causing that country quite the criminal headache. The National Police Union is asking for more officers and greater police powers. Meanwhile, the conservative party in that country called AfD is saying, oh, I told you so. The AfD leader in Bavaria said this, quote, what the AfD has warned about for years can no longer be hidden, end quote. With those facts and data, let me now pivot to my analysis and opinion, talking about why we should care. As I briefed you on extensively, Europe has for 20 years adopted open borders, just like Mr. Biden and Democrats have done at a record clip over the past 3 years. Now, in Europe, it has caused profound social unrest and even criminality. In fact, we have seen this, as you may recall, from Sweden to Italy, from Ireland to Germany, and a lot of countries in between. What we're hearing from voters is that they have just had enough. They are embracing populist movements all throughout the continent, trying to take back their countries and their heritage. Now, we will see if they are able to fully do that. Elections for European Parliament are coming up, lasting from June 6th to June 9th. And depending on how that goes, that could give us a sense for how these populist movements are faring in Europe, obviously, but also possibly here in the United States too, because Donald Trump is, by all measures, a populist. So let us put that on our radars, ladies and gentlemen, with more to come. Next, we are off to one of my favorite places in all the world, the Sahel region of Africa. Now, we were last here on March 5th and 18th, in case you missed those episodes. But in short, the Russians are moving in, the French and the Americans are getting kicked out, and we should care because this region has some pretty vital deposits of minerals from gold to uranium. Plus, unfortunately, Moscow has some pretty devious plans to push migrants from this very poor area into Europe via Libya and the United States as well via the countries of Guinea and Mauritania. Well, we are back today to the Sahel for a couple of updates. First, in the country of Niger. As listeners will recall, U.S. taxpayers have built a $100 million drone base in the city of Agadez. There are about 1,000 personnel who are, well, they're not doing much right now, sitting around, not allowed to operate. And that is because the White House and U.S. law prevents us from working closely with anybody who has plotted a coup in any foreign nation, which, to be fair, is the case here in Niger. Plus, Mr. Biden recently sent over some officials from the Pentagon and the State Department to meet with the military leaders of this country, trying to patch things up. But, well, unfortunately, it did not go well. Mr. Biden's team offended them. And that is when they promised, again, to throw us out and bring in the Russians. And that takes us to the update. Over the weekend, hundreds of protesters took to the streets of that country, the capital city, demanding that the remaining U.S. troops leave that drone base in Agadez and do so immediately. As that protest took place, there was a new batch of forces that showed up from Russia. Moscow's planes landed with about 100 trainers and other personnel, plus some anti-aircraft systems, which is just a little bit strange. The government of Niger say that, well, they need this stuff, the anti-aircraft systems, to fight Islamic radicals, but those guys don't have any planes. So that suggests that Niger is actually using these anti-aircraft systems for any errant drones that might come from, say, Agadez at the direction of Mr. Biden. Meanwhile, to the west of Niger we go, to the country of Mali. Now, as listeners might recall, the Russians have been moving into that country as well, but there's been some questions about how Moscow's mercenary corps called the Africa Corps is going to get paid for their services. It's a very poor country, and their services run about $10 million a month. Well, this morning, we are learning a little bit more about that exchange, what might make it up. And the answer is probably gold. The Canadian mining firm called Barrick has announced that they are facing growing pressure from the military government that is in Mali to either share more profits from the big gold mine that they operate or turn it over to the military authorities in the capital of Bamako. Now, to be clear, this gold mine is a big one, one of the largest in the world. Barrick says that they pay about $380 million each year in royalties, depending on the price of gold. But as Mali's military leaders say, that's not enough. Give us more, or all of it. Regional analysts say that it is unlikely that the military leaders will take over this mine because, well, they don't have the technical experience to do so. But the Russians sure do. And that is why we should watch for that, as Moscow clearly is trying to gain access to gold mines, not only in this country, but all around the world, with the hope that they can secure this gold for their central bank, especially as Western powers are considering whether or not to seize their assets in Europe and the United States. More to come on that. Next, we leave Africa for the country of Australia this morning, where hearts are very, very heavy following two knife attacks, one of which was just branded as a terror incident. First, there was a deadly stabbing rampage by a 40-year-old man whose father said that he was, unfortunately, schizophrenic, fascinated with knives, and he was very angry that he couldn't find a girlfriend. So he went to a mall outside of Sydney, and he began stabbing all the women that he could find. Six were killed, one a mother with a baby in her hands. 12 were injured. This man was eventually shot by an off-duty police officer, killed him dead. He just happened to be in the area. 2 days later, yesterday, there was another stabbing in Sydney, this time at a church. The priest was delivering a live-streamed sermon when a 15-year-old boy attacked the man, stabbing him and four others. None were seriously wounded. The boy is now under arrest. Local police are actually branding this as a terror incident. We'll learn more about that probably in the next day or two. But nevertheless, thinking about these two incidences, these two stabbings, let's think about crime in this country as well. Think about laws that we might have for, say, a school shooting or otherwise. Thinking about that, let's pivot from facts and data, and let's talk about analysis and opinion. Let's start with something that you might not know. Australia has some of the most aggressive laws that limit gun ownership and knife ownership. In fact, they were adopted after a series of stabbings years ago. And yet, those crimes continue, with both this boy and this man obviously having access to them. And so, while our hearts are so terribly heavy, especially for the women who were killed and the priest who was attacked, I think that this underlines the argument that guns or knives don't ultimately kill people. Rather, people kill people. And weapons aside, these crazy folks do this for all sorts of horrible reasons. So while I think it's fair to talk about gun control or knife control, all right, we should also be talking about the mental health of these culprits and otherwise trying to help the young men who are in crisis. In fact, we discussed this back on October 27th following that terrible shooting in the state of Maine. If you missed that episode and you want to go back and think about how we might solve these problems in this country, go back and listen to it. It's pretty good. Finally, this morning, we come home to the United States, and we've got some good related news about how we might reach people who are struggling with feeling isolated or bullied or otherwise alone. Now, again, we have discussed solutions to this, as I just mentioned back in October. And when we've done this, we've talked about the importance of things like sports, exercise, some great coaches, also men volunteering in schools. Well, today I've got another solution for you, and this one is good for the soul, and I mean literally. The Wall Street Journal reported over the weekend on a body of research that says that it is time for us to go back to church or synagogue or a mosque because there is no better place to reconnect and deal with isolation amongst many things than going to church or a religious service. The Wall Street Journal pointed to some data from Harvard University and Gallup polling that showed that people and countries with higher rates of religious service and attendance scored far higher on what they described as human flourishing. In other words, feeling happy and content. Now, interestingly and incredibly, the data come from over 240,000 people in 65 different countries, so pretty darn exhaustive. The findings, by the way, of going to church or having religion being good for the soul, well, that builds on some previous research from back in 2019 and 2016. Those studies back then showed that religious people lived longer lives and had lower rates of depression, amongst other things, especially for children ages 13 to 18. And that seems incredibly important this morning, something to keep in mind for the upcoming weekend. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude this morning's episode of The Right Report. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back. In the coming weeks, you are likely to hear even more headlines about leaders in both the U.S. and Europe starting to seize Russian assets. They're going to do it to pay for the war in Ukraine. We spoke of this back in early January with the very clear effects on the U.S. dollar and our pocketbooks. So if you are looking for ways to diversify your investments, and we should, consider physical gold and silver, and consider American Hartford Gold as you do. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. And feel comfortable using American Hartford Gold, as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that is 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Just text WRIGHT, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, WRIGHT to 65532. Man, that is easy. Again, that's WRIGHT 265532. And when you do, folks, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first order, all depending on your total purchase. So again, give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, WRIGHT, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold. It's a good morning, but we need to talk about tonight. And that is because, as ever, you need a good night's sleep tonight, and you're going to get that with Ghost Bed. Yes, it's the company that I think makes the finest mattresses in all of America. And you all know that's true because I own one. I had the Lux model. But they've got those other great options too, like the Classic, the Massage Bed, yes please, and also one for your RV. But no matter what model you choose from, you gotta get one of these things. The mattresses are built with high quality materials and fine craftsmanship, and you are gonna feel both when that thing is delivered right to your doorstep. As always, they have a 101-day trial period with free returns. So folks, get yourselves a Ghost Bed and get 50% off when you do. Go to ghostbed.com/right, that's WRIGHT, and get 50% off your Ghost Bed purchase. Again, that's ghostbed.com/right. And get ready, because once that bed arrives, you are going to be off to a great night's sleep. I guarantee it. Welcome back to The Right Report with one more thing before I let you go. It is a set of listener questions today sent to us from my paid subscribers at rightreport.substack.com. First up is Nicholas in Northern Florida. Brian, he wrote, I have been watching the price of chocolate since you started briefing us on it. Did you see the latest on cocoa prices? A new record. Nicholas, yes, I did. And I love it that you're watching this. Makes me just want to geek out with you. Anyway, Bloomberg News. Yes, they reported yesterday that cocoa futures almost touched $11,000 a ton. And that in and of itself is a new record. So by the way, for any folks out there who missed these episodes, we have been talking about why we should care about this issue of cocoa prices. In fact, we talked about it last on March 22nd, in case 27th, in case you missed that episode. But the upshot is that cocoa prices and the lack of crop this year, it affects local farmers, your pocketbook, and potentially increases Islamic radicalism in that area of Western Africa, where a lot of the cocoa from the world comes from. So, Nicholas, great work. Good catch. Next up, we've got Denise from Fairview, Georgia. Dear Angel of Death, she wrote, I read that Russia's refineries are getting patched up after those Ukrainian drone strikes. So, hey, tell us some good news about that. Okay, thank you, sassy Denise. The Angel of Death, I'm always happy to help you. You are correct. Reuters News Service is reporting that the Russians have brought back online about 5% of the capacity that the Ukrainians had destroyed with their drones. So that, yes, leaves about 10% offline. But nevertheless, it is progress. And that could help with a bit more global supply of various distillates in the coming weeks. So maybe we could see a little bit of softening on global gas and diesel prices. Just really depends, though, on what Israel does next with Iran. Finally, we've got the perfectly named Angel from Wilcox, Arizona. Brian, he said, I caught you on Sean Parnell's podcast yesterday. Well done. I loved it. Why don't you tell us in advance so we don't miss this stuff? Well, Angel, thank you. Clearly not Angel of Death. You're an angel of lightness and goodness. Bless you. And true, it is. I was on with Sean Parnell yesterday. He's a really great guy. His podcast, by the way, is called Battleground with Sean Parnell. The episode is up there now. If you'd like to listen to it, you just go to your favorite podcast platform, look for Battleground with Sean Parnell, and you'll see my ugly mug or name on that podcast platform. So thank you, Angel. That was very kind. By the way, since you asked for getting some heads up, I have a written piece that will be coming out tomorrow on foxnews.com. It's entitled, "The Ukraine War is Lost, but Hollywood and DC don't know it." I will include a link for that in the transcripts for Substack subscribers tomorrow, but you can still find it. Just use that headline, do a little Google searching or internet searching. It will be live on Fox's main page around 5 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. Folks, if you'd like me to answer one of your questions on the podcast, it is so easy to do. Either donate via my Stripe account, which you will find a link for in the show notes. Just make sure you leave me your email and I'll be in touch. Otherwise, go to writereport.substack.com, sign up, and enjoy the transcripts, by the way, with all the sourcing. But at the bottom of each day's Substack post, you can leave me a comment or ask me a question. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. To the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Good day.